What's going on, guys? Nathan here, and today I'm going to teach you absolutely everything you need to know about how to play your flush draws much better. You are going to learn how to assess the value of your flush draw. I'm going to teach you all about basic flush draw math. And don't worry, it's not going to be too complicated. I'm going to teach you all of the basic pot odds, including charts that you can memorize. You're going to learn all about implied odds. You're going to learn to give yourself multiple ways to win with flush draws. You're going to learn how to never miss value again with your flush draws. And most importantly of all, at the end of this video, I'm going to show you how to bluff with your missed flush draw, because remember, you're gonna miss your flush draws 2 out of every 3 times. So that is arguably the most important skill when playing a flush draw, is understanding when to bluff, what type of players to bluff, and what river card to bluff. And I'm gonna show you exactly how to do that at the end of this video. There are gonna be multiple step-by-step example hands, so buckle up, get ready to take some notes. We're gonna talk about everything you need to know about flush draws today. Counting down from 7 to 1, here we go. So flush draw tip for beginners number 7 is understanding basic flush draw strength. I want to start with this one because this is one of the biggest trouble spots that I have seen with my students over the years, and as a 10 plus year professional poker player myself, is that a lot of beginners in particular do not know how to read the board correctly when they have a flush draw. Guys, the basic thing to understand about flush draws is that they were not all created equal, not even close, and many beginners lose all their money chasing bad flush draws. Let me give you 2 examples right now. So a good flush draw would be a hand like ace 4 of hearts on a flop of 9 of hearts, king of hearts, and 5 of clubs. Now let me give you an example of a bad flush draw on that exact same flop. That would be when you have a hand like 3-2 of hearts. Now I'm not going to get into exactly what hands to play in this video, because I've made countless videos already here on the channel talking about this, and also there are charts and diagrams showing you exactly what hands to play in my free poker cheat sheet, which will be the top link in the description below. But basically, in a nutshell, guys, I don't even play 3-2 of hearts or 3-2 of spades. It doesn't matter what the suit is. Most good players, professional poker players, don't play this hand. Now, why is that the case? Guys, you need to understand that ace 4 of hearts is the best possible flush draw on this board, and 3-2 of hearts is the worst possible flush draw. Now, what do I mean by that? Guys, a flush is a 5-card hand, and the highest card in the flush is going to be the winner of the hand. And since with flushes, it is a all or nothing scenario, one person wins and the other person loses, if you have the lower flush draw, it is going to be a very, very painful lesson for you. And the problem is, when you have a hand like 3-2, you are literally chasing the worst possible flush draw, meaning that if anybody has ace 4 of hearts, queen jack of hearts, 7-6 of hearts, if that heart comes on the turn or river, you are going to be royally screwed. You're going to lose all of your money because you are chasing a hand that has what we call reverse implied odds. Basically, you're begging to dig your own grave. So like I said, guys, good players don't even play low flush draws, like a 3-high flush draw with a 3-2 there. Make sure that you are drawing to the nuts most of the time. You want to be chasing flushes that are ace high, king high, queen high, jack high, and you want to stay away from chasing flushes that are 5-high, 4-high, and 3-high. All right, let's move on to flush draw tip number 6, and let's talk about some basic flush draw math now. And like I said, it's not going to be complicated in this video. I am not a math guy. Any of you guys who watch my videos here, I have some of the highest winnings of all time in low stakes poker games online, and I only know the basics of poker math because that's all you need to know. Many people are trying to teach complicated PhD level probability these days to beat a very simple card game, and I have proven that that is totally unnecessary and you don't need to know that. I'm going to show you what you need to know right now. Let's start off with the basic probability of a flush draw hitting from the flop to the river. That is roughly around 35%. So assuming that you are up against a player who has top pair, has some sort of pair, and that is not always a given, it is very important to remember that, but assuming that they have some sort of pair, you are only going to win the hand around 1 out of 3 times. Not a very good spot spot to be in, and that's why I'm going to show you later on in the video about how we're going to give ourselves more ways to win by raising and then bluffing at the end as well. So basically, guys, first thing you need to understand is pot odds. Now, let me walk you through that right now. You typically want to have 3-to-1 pot odds or more when you are chasing a flush draw. And by chasing, I'm just talking about calling. Again, later on in the video, I'm going to give you examples of when to raise and bluff. But for example, if the pot is $100 and they bet $50, your pot odds in this situation are 3-to-1. You are risking $50 in order to win $150. 150 divided by 50 is, of course, 3/1. So guys, that is a basic rough rule of thumb that you can go by to calculate your pot odds. Now, let me give you some basic pot odds that you can actually memorize now when they make a bet and you have a flush draw. I'm also going to show you how to price them out in a second here. But let's talk about first, if somebody bets 1/4 of the pot. So for example, pot is $100, they bet $25. You are going to be getting 5-to-1 pot odds in that situation. So yes, you can chase your flush draw. If they bet 1/3 of the pot, so $33 into $100, you're getting 4-to-1. Once again, you can chase your flush draw. If they bet half the pot, $50 into $100, once again, boom, yeah, we're getting the right pot odds, 3-to-1 or more. However, if somebody bets 3/4 pot, so $75 into $100, you're only getting 2.5-to-1. That would be below my threshold. And if somebody makes a pot size bet, meaning they bet $100 into $100, you are only getting 2-to-1, and that would also be below my threshold to chase your flush draw. Now, a lot of people are going to ask, why do we need to go through this? What is the whole point of these pot odds? Guys, remember, we already talked about how we're only going to hit our flush 35% of the time, so we need to be giving ourselves a mathematical edge so that we stand to win a large amount when we actually do hit our flush. If we're basically just putting in the same amount of money as the other guy, it's not going to work for us mathematically, because remember, we are at a statistical disadvantage. They're going to win 2 out of 3 times, and we're only going to win 1 out of 3 times. So you want to basically look for situations where they're betting half pot or less. That is a rough rule of thumb to go by. Now, let's talk about when you have a hand like top pair. For example, you've got ace king, and the flop comes king 8-3 with 2 diamonds. So in this situation, if you want to price somebody out who has 5-6 of diamonds, for example, you should bet $75 or more. A lot of people come to me, my students, they complain that, oh, they always hit their flush draw. Guys, I can't give you a surefire way to help you with that. They're going to hit 1 out of 3 times. However, you can bet an amount that makes it so it is not profitable for them to call mathematically. And remember that poker is a long-term game, guys. If you're fighting the math over the course of thousands or even millions of hands, like in my case, a professional poker player, it's going to add up in the end, guys. So understand this basic math, and I think you're gonna have a lot more success with pot odds now. But let's move on to number 4 flush draw tip, and that is that everything that I just said, you can throw it out the window, because pot odds don't mean anything if you don't have implied odds. Now, once again, I'm gonna make this as simple as possible. There's no complicated math here. What are implied odds? Implied odds are the amount that you stand to gain if you hit your hand. We just talked about our basic probability of hitting a flush draw, remember, around 35%. And we talked about having roughly 3-to-1 pot odds in order to chase, but that is just to maintain a level of break-even profitability with our flush draw. We want to be able to win some after the fact. Basically, we want to be able to show a significant profit by being able to make a big bet on the river, for example, and get paid. And you can't do that when they don't have any money in their stack. And that is the biggest problem that people make. And that is why I will say 100% never chase a flush draw versus a short stack. Now, what's a short stack? A short stack is somebody who has something like 20 big blinds in their stack to start the hand, or 40 big blinds. As a rough rule of thumb, I want somebody to have 80 big blinds or more in order to play my flush draw against them. And once again, that is because there is something for me to win if I hit my flush draw. Guys, if they don't have any money in their stack, you can't win a big pot. So just to make it crystal clear, you're playing in a $1, $2 cash game. They should have a minimum of $160 to start the hand in their stack. if you want to chase your flush draw. Once again, $2 is the big blind in that game, times 80 would be $160. If this player only has $50 to start the hand, you can't profitably chase your flush draw, guys, because they don't have enough money for you to win anything if you hit your draw. All right, let's get into some deeper strategy now with flush draws. Number three is going to be giving yourself more ways to win. All right, guys, so this is something that I've talked about in many videos here on the channel. By the way, make sure you subscribe so you never miss my brand new poker strategy videos. But basically, guys, the key to success in poker is giving yourself multiple ways to win, not just relying on hitting the best hand. Remember, flush draws, 35% of the time, they're gonna come through. We can't just call with our flush draw and hope to win. It's not gonna be a long-term winning strategy for us. So you can't just call with your flush draws. We need to raise sometimes versus the right player types on the right boards. Let me give you an example right now. So you call on the button with Jack 10 of diamonds versus a tag. Now a tag stands for tight and aggressive. This is one of the better player types in today's games. In fact, it is basically the style that I teach and everything that I put out in my Elite Poker Training University, in my poker books and everything. I'll have links, by the way, for everything in the description below if you want to go deeper. But basically, guys, this is a situation where I got the Jack 10 of diamonds and it comes down with two diamonds on the flop, where sometimes I'm gonna be making a raise here in order to try to push this player out of the pot when I clearly don't have the best hand. And I'm very often gonna do it versus this specific player type, and I'm gonna do it on a board texture like this. So we're gonna assume that this player bets on the flop and I'm gonna make a raise here. Now, why do I do that? Well, tight and aggressive. Tight and aggressive is the type of player that will often back down. They don't like to stick a lot of their money in the middle without a really strong hand. Some players are a little bit more sticky than others, but in a broad sense, I'm going to target the regular decent players who are watching videos like this more often for bluffs than I'm going to do versus the fish, aka the recreational players, because what do we know about them? They don't like to fold, of course. But good players who take this game seriously, they know in a situation like this with a hand like ace queen, for example, if they get raised on this flop, they're gonna fold it. Now, I know that a player like this who raises pre-flop is going to have a lot of hands like that that missed this flop. They're gonna have a king sometimes, but they're also gonna have, again, hands like ace queen, ace jack, pocket fours, for example. None of those hands can continue when we raise here on the flop. Also, I think this is a good flop for us to bet because there are multiple draws. This is a very scary board for this player and often in position, and that is very crucial. I hope you guys realize we are on the button in this hand, and I'm going to put the image of the seats at the poker table on your screen now just for some of you guys who are beginners to the game so you know exactly what I'm talking about. Guys, I'm going to be playing the vast majority of my flush draws from the cutoff and the button because those are statistically the two most profitable seats in poker. And you are seeing it here right now. This is the reason why. It's because we get to act last, which is a massive proven statistical advantage because they are playing in the dark against us, guys. They don't know what we're going to do. And it's a very scary position here if you're sitting here with ace queen and you get raised by another decent player on a board like this. You're often just gonna throw your hand away. Now, a lot of people will ask me though, but Nathan, what do you do when they call? Well, guys, I'm going to be firing again on many turn cards. I'm not just gonna be giving up. This is a big mistake that a lot of people make when they run a big bluff with their flush draw is they just raise the flop or they just raise the turn, but they don't continue. We do need to have heart in poker, guys, to be continuing on a lot of turn and river cards here, even if we don't hit our diamonds. And I'm going to show you the big bluff on the river in a second, but the biggest thing to remember here, guys, is we are giving ourselves two ways to win this pot instead of just one. If we just call here, which I'm going to do sometimes, by the way, remember poker is all about frequency. I'm not doing anything 100% of the time. But when we raise here, which I'll do maybe about 50% of the time, 50% of the time call, I am giving myself two ways to win. I can make this player fold right now, or I can still make the best hand. It is the exact same math for me to hit a diamond on the turn or the river. And so this is a very profitable way to play your flush draws. Let's move on to flush draw tip number two now, guys, which is never miss value. All right, so let's talk about that 35% of the time when you hit your flush draw. Now, I wanna talk about passive players in particular because a lot of players these days, especially the regular opponents that you face, do not like to play a big pot, as we just talked about, without a very strong hand. hand, and often when the flush draw card comes on the turn or river, they're going to be scared. They're often just going to check behind, and this is one of the biggest mistakes that people make. They win a tiny pot because they don't understand that you have to build the pot, guys, in small stakes games in order to win a big pot versus the vast majority of opponents. I talked about this at length in my first poker book, that fast play is the new slow play, especially in small stakes games. So once again, let me give you an example. You call in the big blind with ace three of spades versus a nit. Now, a nit is one of the tightest players. It is the tightest player at the poker table. This is the guy or girl who's been sitting in a corner for the last 30 minutes, not saying a whole lot, not raising, not really playing any hands because they're waiting for something really good, guys. And these players are notorious for only wanting to commit large portions of their stack with a really strong hand, such as top pair, two pair, a trips, a straight, a flush, and so on. So we're going to assume that flop comes down with a 10 of spades, six of clubs, and queen of spades. So really good flop for us. We've got four to the flush, of course, and we're chasing the nut flush here, of course, the best flush possible as well. So we're going to check call on this flop, pretty standard situation, and the turn comes with the king of spades. Obviously, our gin card, we have essentially the best hand possible in this situation. What should you do here on this turn? Well, guys, again, a lot of people will make the mistake of slow playing here, and that is the act of just checking here and hoping that our opponent is going to do the betting. But like I said, guys, players like this are notoriously passive. If you just check here, they're just going to check behind, and it's going to artificially keep the size of the pot low, and you're going to wind up winning a tiny pot with your flush if you can even get something out of them on the river, which is a massive mistake. And this is why, guys, you need to lead here, aka make a bet, and I would suggest making a big bet. Now, guys, one of the number one things that my students always tell me is, but Nathan, I'm afraid that I'm going to scare them out of the pot. Guys, you need to understand that a lot of players will not make a bet here, but they will make a call if they do have something. They still don't like to fold. For example, if this player has a hand like queen jack or ace queen, they're not gonna fold just because we make a bet on this turn here. They're going to at least pull one off and see if they can hit their straight on the river with a queen jack, for example. Basically, they are not willing to make a bet here, but they are willing to make a call. So in a situation like this, you want to build the size of the pot. This is also gonna make them feel more committed on the river because the pot a lot bigger, and when you make another bet on the river, they're gonna find it easier to talk themselves into a call. Guys, bottom line, do not miss value with your flush draws. Often you need to build the pot for them in small stakes games. The only time that I would be going for a check raise here is versus a highly aggressive, loose and aggressive type of player or some sort of maniac fish. But in most situations, against 90% of players in small stakes games, you should be building the pot here yourself in order to make sure that you win a big pot. All right, guys, let's move on to my number one flush draw tip. And as promised, I'm gonna show you how to bluff the river when you miss your flush draw right now. All right, guys, so as mentioned off the top, we're only gonna hit our flush draw roughly one out of three times by the river. So we can't just give up when we miss our flush draw on the river, which is going to happen two out of three times. So you call on the button in our example here with 9-8 of hearts. Again, playing on the button versus a weaker regular, we're gonna try to outplay this player, and we're gonna talk about that right now. All right, so the flop comes down with a jack of hearts, seven of spades, and four of hearts. We're gonna assume it went bet call here, or possibly bet raise for us. As we talked about before, we're gonna play it in multiple different manners, but we're gonna assume that we get all the way to the river here, and we've missed all our draws. We also had a gut shot straight draw on the flop, so we were looking really strong on the flop, but by the river here, we have nothing, guys. We have nine high. So let's talk about my factors for success in bluffing the river. The number one thing I always ask myself, guys, is if we check behind here, remember, we're in position, we're on the button, we're gonna be acting last. If we check behind, is there any chance that we can win this pot? I think the answer is 100% no in this situation. Again, we have nine high. Even if this player has a hand like queen 10, for example, if we check back here, they're going to win with queen high. So it is an absolute disaster to check behind here for us if we think that there is any chance for us to win by bluffing in this situation. Because when we check behind here with nine high, we are essentially waving the white flag. We're giving up. We know we cannot win here with our hand. We have the worst hand, 100%. So the weak regular does check to us. What should you do in this spot? You should bluff bluff 75% of the pot. Now, let me break this down for you. So weak regular, this is a player who does not like to play a big pot without a big hand. We talked about these players. This is the kind of player I'm going to target. And specifically, by the way, if you're playing online poker and you're using a HUD like I do, and I'll include the link to the HUD that I use in the description below, if you get the data on your screen, on your HUD, I would target players with a went to showdown percentage of 25% or less. And if you're playing live poker or online poker without a HUD, you just want to look for the players who make a lot of difficult folds on the river or at other stages of the hand, and they often talk themselves into looking for a better spot. I think we've all seen these players. They're not going to make a call here unless they have king, jack, or better on a board like this. So another factor here, you want to bluff big. The biggest mistake that so many people make, especially my students, when we review their hands, is they'll only bet 50% of the pot or 30% of the pot here, guys. And the problem is that even a weak regular is going to look you up with a hand like queen, jack in a spot like that, because they have middle pair and you're giving them 3-to-1, 4-to-1. Remember, we already talked about pot odds previously in this video. So guys, you want to bet big. I would highly suggest 75% of pot, roughly around there, and let them know that it's really gonna hurt if they call and we do have the big hand that we're representing, like a set, a straight, two pair or better. Guys, the bottom line here is putting all the pieces together. You want to bluff your flush draws when you know you 100% have the worst hand, when you're against one of these weak regular player types who like to talk themselves into a fold, and you also want to bet big to let them know that it's going to be painful. And by the way, I'm also going to be betting big when I hit my flush on the river. That's the balance that makes you more difficult to play against that I've talked about in many videos here on the channel before.
I hope you enjoyed this poker podcast episode. If you want to know my complete strategy for beating small and mid-stakes poker games, make sure you go grab a copy of my free poker cheat sheet that's available on my website at blackrain79.com. And also make sure you hit like and subscribe here to the podcast, as I'm putting out new episodes every single week to help you guys quickly get beating your poker games. I wish you guys all the best at the poker tables. I'll catch you next week. This has been Nathan Williams with blackrain79.com.